Hi guys, it's Kara, host of Everyone's Business But Mine. And let's be real, one thing that makes the show possible is by selling sponsorships to advertisers. One way you can support us in getting more sponsors is by telling us a little bit more about yourself. You can do that by filling out a quick survey at the link in the show description. Plus, your answers are anonymous. They'll help us learn what you love most about the show and how to make it even better. The questions will ask you about the things that help advertisers understand the audience. It'll only take a few minutes, and it's an easy way to help the show. So you can find the link in the show description. Thank you so much, and stay tuned for the rest of the show.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's super intimidating to go out and drop the bomb to single women that were married.
You never know what could happen. Like, you might meet somebody that's like, oh yeah, I like you guys. You get, I'm open to it, you know?
Oh man. Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Hi, do you happen to be single?
Yes.
Would you be interested in dating my husband?
Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of Mess over here at TLC. We're talking the third episode, season 5 of Seeking Sister Wife. Wow, we have a new couple we're going to start off with, and just really great storylines this week. We're rich, we're wealthy, and I'm happy to be here. I mean, what a fucking shit show. We got to start off hard and strong. I don't love those adjectives, but we're going to go with them. With our new couple, the Ryans, Becky and Justin. They're from somewhere in Texas. We'll find out next week. Justin says they met when they were teens, okay? But we get a little bit of a walkthrough. It's a little sketchy. He then specifies that he's, you know, a few years older than Becky, although he does not specify how many. He does the Nick Vile defense, which, if you guys don't know, Nick Vile he's from the Bachelor universe, Bachelor Nation. He has a podcast where, like, all the reality TV stars du jour will go to, like, spill their secrets. So, like, right now, it's like all the cast of Love is Blind and, you know, people from Vanderpump Rules, etc. So he has this, fiance? I don't know if they're married yet, but he's, like, 40-something and she's, like, 20-something. And this is what I'm now going to dub the Nick Vile defense, which is these older men positioning them being so hesitant to be in these relationships, and it was the younger girl who was really, really persistent in pursuing him. And so they got married when he was 19 and she was 16. Yike. And then he was like, you know, she just kept asking me, and I was like, oh, like, I don't want to be with you. But she was like, she kept saying we were gonna get married. So we got married. I was 19, she was 16. That absolute predatory 16-year-old girl, 14-year-old girl that you met, I imagine. She's a preacher's kid, right? Her daddy's a pastor of the church that they went to. She grew up in a church that believed that polygamy was an option, right? So, you know, as far for as much as I've watched these types of shows, Duggars, to some extent, Sister Wives, but even couples in this show, I haven't noticed what I'm going to call brainwash face. I should have noticed this years ago. It's this blank stare, and it's like a woman who seems like she's got not a single problem. There's like barely a wrinkle on her face. She's got like this peace about her if you just look very quickly. But if you really dig deep on like what she's saying and how she lives her life, you're like, wait, what? What's going on? So she's explaining to us that she thinks that polygamy is great, right? That her dad was taking on more wives as he was digging through the scripture to justify his actions, right? You could see in her face, she's just running on vibes here. Like, she's decided, I can't feel feelings, and so I'm just going to go with it, right? So then she goes, you know, there were no negatives to it at all, but, you know, maybe there were times where I felt like, you know, my dad didn't have any time for me, but there were also other people to talk to. And then she also says that her mom is kind of a loner, so she's never really had any sort of great bonding experience with her parents, but she says that that's not going to be the same with her and her kids. They've got 6 kids, Becky and Justin, 4 of which still live at home. Becky laughs in the way that you know she's like really actually fucking serious when she says, you know, when we were growing up at the time, I really, really wish, you know, when I was having those 6 kids that that's when I would have had the sister wife. She's tired. She's exhausted, right? Justin says that he does not look at polygamy as a sex thing, but it's just a way to strengthen the family unit, which kind of goes back to, well, if you were pounding 6 kids into your wife, maybe that would have been the time to strengthen the family unit. So, you know, we don't go back to her repeating history like she said with her daddy. He didn't have time for me sometimes. Like, that would have been the time. Anyway, so I'm watching them getting ready for their day, and it's just, like, junk fest. It's so junky and clunky in there. There's, like, a roll of toilet paper on his bedside table, a Stanley cup, multiple pill bottles. Like, what's going on here? They're talking about a potential woman named Stephanie. They've already been dating her, but there's an issue. Like, Justin's already mocking her, like, well, hopefully we'll hear from Stephanie at some point. Maybe she'll be firm in her decision, not being like, oh, I'm scared. We see pictures of them with Stephanie, but her face is blurred out. So I'm guessing this situation doesn't really make it beyond this picture montage. They met Stephanie about 9 months ago. They started dating her, and she lives somewhere else in America. But this is like a situation. It's very hot and cold with Stephanie. The second time that they met up with each other, Stephanie expressed her desire to be part of the family, her interest in the lifestyle. Becky says, no. Stephanie fully agreed to be our wife at that point. But then she'll go through these phases where she doesn't know if she can do it and she's afraid what the family's going to say. At this point of them filming, she has now ghosted them again. We're not sure which number, but this seems to be a repeat situation with them and Stephanie. And they're like, listen, we think that Stephanie is actually perfect for our family. So we just want Stephanie in another woman who's just like not afraid of what society is going to say about our relationship. So they decide to go the old school OG route of going to a bar to seek somebody. I actually looked up this bar because I was so fascinated. It just felt like there was so much going on. I love these types of places where it's like, mostly in the suburbs. They're huge. They're like airport hangar size establishments, and they just have everything. It's a nightclub. It's a sports bar. It's a lounge. There are black people there, white people there. They're dapping each other up and laughing. I actually went to the website. There's a fucking dog in the commercial. They have a commercial and like an intro, and there's just like a dog there, a cute dog, you know? Really, but it just didn't make sense. Like, literally, it was like Stefan from SNL. Like, this place has everything. There's a dog. There's some interracial laughter happening in the corner. Somebody's playing skee ball. There are people playing pool. There's a bottle girl with a light go in the corner, and you can tell that they're really working those angles to make it seem like this place is bumping. It's not. Not even in the commercial on the website, and definitely not here. It's, like I said, huge. There are maybe 12 people in this whole establishment. God bless them. I love it. They said that they basically have run through the apps. In wherever version, part of Texas they're at, they've gone through it. And I guess all of America, because Stephanie lives elsewhere, right? So now they're going the old school approach, like I said. I'm guessing maybe it's summer, maybe it's still like 8 o'clock and bright and sunny, but it just like, this is not the vibe of I'm going to be trying to pick up chicks for my husband. You know what I mean? Like, it's just too bright. It's not sexy. They're belly up to the bar. 12 feet away, there's like an elderly woman, a woman with very large lips, and then another random person. Like, clearly, these women are already mic'd up and ready to go. They keep flashing to them in a way that wouldn't be happening had they not already signed the releases. Like, what's going on here? So they scope out the third lady at the bar, and Justin is like, I should go out to my car to go get my business cards. Like, I don't know. I can't really gauge how old they are because I don't know how to say this, but there's something in both of their faces where I feel like they're just on the precipice of about to look old, but something in their biology is holding it back. Like, they're just like right on the edge, right on the edge. So I'm like, I don't know if they're like a hard 38 or a soft 52. It's really, like, I really can't tell. Anyway, so he goes out to get his business cards. Becky gets up for the bar. She's like half of a little sweet martini in, a little Cosmo in, approaches the brunette and says, "Hey, how are you? Good. You happen to be single?" "Yeah, I do." When she says yeah, she's like, "Would you be interested in dating my husband?" So this lady, we find out her name is Desiree, and she just sits there, mouth open. But she says to us in a confessional, "I actually don't really know much about polygamy and the whole lifestyle, but it's like a step up from swinger, right?" Becky says, "Listen, I know it's not quite the norm. You can ask all the questions you want. Like, we're open books." Justin comes back in from getting his business cards. Becky's going at it, right? He's like, "Cool. Job done," right? Desiree tells Becky, "Look, I'm recently divorced. I have 2 kids. Don't really think I'm into sharing. Like, doesn't really appeal to me. No judgment, but I don't know." Becky says, "Great. That's everybody's first thoughts. But I kind of look at it like a built-in best friend. And kids don't scare us. We have kids too." Becky says in a confessional that part of her thinks that maybe she just should walk away from Desiree and not press the issue. But if she's open to learning, then maybe this could be a little something-something, right? So they do a little formal introduction. They shake hands. Becky goes to get Justin because he's still where they were sitting, right? With his business cards. Desiree and the older lady that she's at the bar with, when Becky goes over to get Justin, they just start bursting out laughing. Like, girl, what the fuck's going on? So Justin comes over to introduce himself. And he's like, "Hey, Becky's got bigger balls than I do, huh?" Right? Desiree's like, "Yeah, she does. But, you know, I did tell her I'm a very selfish person. And I wouldn't be against learning, though. Like, I'm interested in what you guys are doing. Like, not that interested, but we can talk about it," right? So then, all of a sudden, Desiree gets a whole new lower third, and she becomes Desiree, potential sister wife. So she just, like, says to us, "You know, Justin is kind of a dapper guy, and he seems sweet," but then Justin asks her what she does for a living, right? Normal question. She says, "I'm a director for an international ministry." What does that mean? What type of international ministry? Like a religious, sort of like a defense ministry? Like, what's going on? He didn't even ask her, like, "What do you mean, girl?" How was that not your first question? He just goes, "Cool. Well, do you work out?" And Desiree goes, "Yeah, that's where I met my girlfriend right here, like my friend." And He looks over at the blonde in the middle next to the elderly lady. And he goes, yeah, I could notice an accent. And she's like, yes, I'm from Estonia. And he goes, what is that, like by Russia or something? And she goes, yeah, north of there. So Justin goes, you can tell we're not professional daters. Like, okay, at least you admitted it, sir. Justin seems to think, though, that this is going really well and that they're completely vibing. So he asks her, oh, what are you doing tomorrow night? And she actually says, well, I do have tomorrow night free. That'd be fun. Well. Justin said earlier that Becky's real tenacious. So I'm going to call her Tenacious B. Tenacious B says that after 25 years of searching on and off, she was actually kind of shocked that somebody actually said yes. So they exchange numbers and they're planning on meeting that night or the next night. And there we go. Half a Cosmo and you got yourself a girl. Congratulations. I truly can't believe it. All right, y'all. Let's move on to Slick Nick and Wilson Phillips. So we all know that Danielle moved out, right? So after moving out, Danielle, they tell us, she has agreed to speak with the producers. It seems like she was like, I'll pick y'all up from the side. I'll pick one camera person up from the corner. And I'm going to go to Target and I'll talk to you guys between that if you want to record. But other than that, that's it. So she's just like in her car. God bless her. She would be like me in the car. You can tell she must be like, I'm 5 feet. You guys, she can't be more. She's probably 4'10". She's about 13 inches from that steering wheel. God bless her. In an SUV. That's very me-coded. So she's talking to them as she's driving. And they're like, okay, why did you move out? She says, I moved out because I wanted to take some time and space to really figure out what I wanted to do. If they're ready to move forward with somebody else, like, that's not really something I'm ready to do right now. And it would be selfish of me to stay around. I need to take some time to myself and figure out if this whole thing is for me. Like, undeniably, I do love our family. I love the kids. I love the sister wives. I love Nick. But am I okay with everything that comes with it? So then she just, like, pulls up, not even in a parking space, just, like, to the side of the road in a parking lot, right? And she says, what I did is, like, I decided that it's best that I just take my own space while I make these decisions because I don't want to disrupt the flow of what's going on in the house. So then they ask her, did you say goodbye to baby Vera? And of course she starts crying. It's like, oh, no. First of all, I mean, what big goodbye are you going to have with a literal infant? And she says, I think it would be smarter for me to leave now while she's too young to really understand the situation. And I'm not going to be like, hey, baby Vera, I'm leaving forever and I'm never going to see you again. Like, what kind of racket do you, what kind of question was that, right? So then she says, I think a lot of people stick around in a marriage that they don't really want to be in. And for me, I'm young. Remember, you guys, I'm only like 25 at this point. We really have to keep that top of mind because it's hard to tell. I'm young and I don't want to find myself in however many years being like, damn, I wish I had done this sooner. Life's too short. I don't think anybody should stay in something that they don't feel is right for something, right for them. And right now, I'm just not sure. So then they ask her, did you say goodbye to Jennifer or April? And she says, no, like, I don't want to say goodbye and I don't want to make it real. I don't want to break up with them. But if I can't do this big aspect of us dating, then it's really just not fair for me to say that. Like, we can't do it.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So then they ask her, will you at least agree to sit down and have a conversation with Nick and the girls? And she says, yeah, I will. I'll definitely be willing to sit down and talk about it. But it is difficult because, like, I just don't really have my mind really fully wrapped around all the emotions. So then we see them all in the kitchen. It's, like, all very abrupt. They're talking about, like, what they're planning on making, steak and whatever the fuck, bagged salad. I love a bagged salad. You know what? A good bagged Caesar salad with the dressing and the crouton little bag, bitch. A meal, okay? So anyway, I might get some tonight. So anyway, they're talking about their bagged salad and their steaks, right? And April tells us that Danielle was gone for like a couple days. They started texting and reaching out, and so she decided to move in last night, told them, I want to come back. But they haven't really had a whole conversation about, like, why, what the hell's going on with her at this point. April says, we still don't really even know where her head is at. So this whole conversation, like, is very nerve-wracking. So she tells them, like, my decision to come back really came back to the love that I have for my husband's, my sister wives, my children, but things have been awkward around here. And like, I'm really hoping that this conversation will turn into like some kind of slight mutual understanding. I'm not expecting everybody to hug and kiss and for everything to be okay, but the worst case scenario would be that we're not all on the same page. So Nick is out trying to maintain a flame. Listen, I'm not a grill master, but I feel like the flame can't be 3 feet high in a grill, right? That seems like too much. This is not hibachi. Anyway. So he's like just putting more gas on the situation, which, you know, we could read into that how you want. And they're all going outside. They're all having their salad. It's very quiet. Nick starts to broach the conversation and is like, listen, I think you kind of made a pretty drastic move. And we all want to know if you're really truly interested in expanding the family. And Danielle is trying so hard to, she's having a like Snickers moment where she's just like, get a little crouton in my mouth and get to chewing, girl. Because that'll save you at least 3 seconds from having to answer. You get some time to think, think about how you want to play this. So she's acting like she has never eaten salad before in her life. And it's like the best thing, like just fork and fork. As he's talking like, Well, yeah, it was drastic that I moved out, and now 3 days later, after renting a whole ass apartment, I've decided to move back in. That does seem drastic. So they're asking her, like, what's good, girl? What's going on? Do you want to be in this or nah? And all of a sudden, like, they don't even catch it. She just bolts. She just fucking gets up from the table and goes into the basement, locks herself behind a door, and that's it. Like, we don't see her or what happens. It's our big cliffhanger for the week. Like, very strange behavior. So it's got to be something else, because her just being like, I don't want to expand the family. I don't want new sister wives, even though it doesn't make sense because she knew what the game was when she got into the situation. It does make sense in the sense that, like, I get that. But she's alluding to there being something bigger that she just can't admit. And I, like, can't wait to figure out what that is. Because, girl, if you're bolting from that salad that you were chowing down on, okay, to the bathroom or wherever the fuck you hid yourself in, what's happening? It's got to be more than that. All right, y'all, let's move on to Ashley and Shane. I found a nickname for them. We'll talk about that in just a second, but I was feeling very happy about it. I'm terrible. So Shane has one of his friends over. Her name's Rachel. He says he met her at a competitive beer pong tournament. Now, if you'll remember, he met Ashley at a competitive axe throwing competition. This man is like a Facebook meme page personified. I can't even believe it. Like, he is deeply suburban. This is fascinating to me. Also, it was in this moment where I don't know, I think maybe, I don't know if it was the outfit or the fact that they were under the bright sun, but it's like his chin escaped. I know he has one because I remember seeing it in the last episode, but it like disappeared like a turtle. I don't know what happened. Like maybe it was too hot. I don't know. But then I was looking at him and the hair swoop and I thought, oh my God, he looks like Fred Flintstone. And then I'm thinking, oh my God, Ashley has red hair. Fred and Wilma. I'm a fucking genius. So his friend Rebecca says that she knew about Shane and Ashley's lifestyle earlier this year, which actually, does that make sense? Yeah, I guess it does. I guess she was in the wedding, but she didn't know that they were open until earlier that year. They've been married like 2 or 3 years at that point. But she says, you know, like, not for her. She doesn't really know anybody who lives that lifestyle, but like totally chill about it, right? So Shane asked her, do you have any questions? And she says, well, when Ashley starts feeling a connection with a woman, like how do you then integrate her into y'all's life, right? And Fred says, well, Ashley, it's like a chain. Like it checks and balances here. Like Ashley won't meet the person. She'll meet the person. They'll form a connection. Ashley will have a physical romantic relationship with her. He has a physical romantic relationship with Ashley, but there's no crossover with Ashley's partner in him. They're just going to have a strictly platonic relationship. But Ashley did tell us in the first episode that part of this whole deal is that the woman that she's in a relationship with has to have a biological child with Fred Flintstone, little Bam Bam, little Pebbles, and, you know, so that's a whole other thing, right? I don't know if Shane knows this because she told that to us in a separate confessional. And I don't recall them having spoken about this together. So I don't know if Shane forgot or if this is a new rule, but I can't wait to find out. So then Rebecca's like, okay, well, if you're just having a platonic relationship, what happens if Ashley gets in a fight with her girl? Like, are you going to have to be on Ashley's side? And he's like, no, I'm just going to be like upstairs, you know, playing with my dinosaur, playing video games or whatever. And so then he tells her, you might actually know Grace because you were in the bridal suite at the wedding. That's the girl that Ashley's dating. But they went on one date. One date went to 5 or 6 dates. And Grace didn't want to meet me, which I thought was a little weird. But then, you know, obviously, as we saw, the meeting didn't go very well. So he says, well, what she's doing right now in her life is she has a coaching business. And Rebecca looks at him and is like life coaching? And he goes, yeah, exactly. So like, yeah, girl, I hear the skepticism in your voice. Exactly. What do you mean life coaching? So he tells Rebecca about how he told Grace he doesn't go to therapy. And she was like, oh, yeah, it shows. And Rebecca just starts laughing. She goes, well, I don't really think that's a great indicator for y'all's future, because if you're 50% of the relationship with Ashley, she doesn't want to meet you. That's like concerning and also maybe not even all that respectful. So Rebecca tells producers and us that what Grace did and how she was speaking to Shane was completely disrespectful to him. And so then he says, you know, I express my concerns to Ashley. It is ultimately her choice, but I don't know. So Shane tells us that he had a conversation with Ashley the night before. Like, I think that date happened, if you want to call it that, with Grace yesterday in this time. That night, he has a conversation with Ashley, and it just sort of reinforced all these red flags there were with Grace and how it boggles his mind that Ashley's even been dating Grace for this long. Like, why didn't she even break up with him before they even met? It's like, I don't get it. He cannot stand Grace. He's like, I'm not even seeing what you see in her. Much less the fact that she doesn't like me, which is truly the main issue. It's like chicken or the egg situation. But he's like, I don't see it for her, girl. And I don't know why you do either. So he says that Ashley decided to take the night to think about things. But honestly, like, if the person that Ashley's dating is disrespectful to him, then he's going to have to tell her, Ashley, it's a no for me. So when Rebecca's like, okay, well, what are you going to do if she's still interested, though? And he's like, he really starts getting ramped up, like, well, like he's about to say some shit. Like, well, I'm just going to have to be like, what the hell? What the hell, Ashley? H-E double hockey sticks, ma'am. So after that, it's been like clearly more than the night, more than 12 hours. And he's pissed that Wilma has not like officially kicked Grace to the curb. He's amped up. He's Dr. Rebecca. She's like, yeah, I get it, sir. Like, I get it too. But he's like, listen, Ashley tells us that she gets Shane's feelings. You know, he was not treated the best, but she didn't want to make any rash decisions about it, about breaking up with Grace. So Ashley says, listen, it's probably not the best thing to continue with Grace. And he's like, great, great. And then he's like, so how are you going to do it? You're going to say it to her like right now? Like, how are we going to go about that? You should maybe like give her a reason so she's not left in the dark and do that right now. And then he's like, basically, you know, tell her that it's done. And then I'm the bitch who called the shots. Okay. If you want to send her a selfie of us in bed, I'm happy to do that. I'm ready for my close up. So Ashley reads back the message. Good morning. Thanks again for coming out with us. After a lot of thought and reflection, I just don't think that things are going to work for us. I've had brief moments of feeling this way all along and kind of repressed them, hoping that things would shift. I was really hoping to spend that spending time together with Shane would help bridge the divide that I was experiencing, but it doesn't seem to be doing so. And at this point, I gotta like put my own attempt at navigating any potential there is for us on the shelf, because it doesn't really seem to be naturally happening. You're wonderful, and I enjoyed spending time with you, but the connection that you and I have just isn't that, what I'm seeking at this point. It's all very corporate talk, right? So Shane asks her, do you need help pressing send? Did you press send? Oh, did it go through? Okay. Okay, so Ashley does tell us, it kind of feels like a big weight off my shoulders to just be done and to like not have to walk on eggshells anymore. Shane is really staring at that phone. You got, she replied. She just replied if you want to read it. Sir, she's got the phone in her hand. She can see it. She can see it. So Grace responds, thanks, I appreciate your honesty. When I got up this morning before getting on my phone, I kind of felt in my gut that this wasn't it. So I can't say that I'm surprised to receive your message. I think I'm likely looking for a deeper spiritual connection ultimately. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to get to know you on this level and your family. And I wish you a world of luck for the three, almost four of you now. Okay, girl. So then she's like, listen, I'm like a little bit discouraged because it took a lot of time, you know. And Shane says, I do think that Ashley's going to have to bounce back from this emotionally. And it's hard to find the right person, like for anybody. And it would be even harder for somebody to be interested in our dynamic. So who knows what the future holds? Like, maybe Ashley will never find anybody and we'll just live together. We just forget all this, right? He does not want to do this, poor guy. So Ashley says, well, she's like laying there heavily pregnant, right? Just stomach getting bigger. She practically see the baby kicking, roundhouse kicking her in the stomach. She's like, I probably should hold off from dating now. I mean, I, you know, maybe not a great look in the last month of my pregnancy. So maybe we'll take a pause on that. So let's finish up with our couple du jour. All right, let's talk about Joel Osteen and Slackjaw. A miracle of miracles happened. Natalia and her mom were able to get on their flight, so they're officially on their way to Mexico. They're... Why were they in the lobby of that hotel, Joel and Slackjaw, hiding behind a pillar, watching her get out of the car? And then in true large wife form, the first thing that Slackjaw says is, oh my God, she's tiny. Look at her. She wasn't really that, but like she was noticeably smaller than Danielle. But how large is Danielle? They're acting like she's like a pro wrestler compared to all of these women. I don't know. She doesn't seem that much bigger, just taller. Also, Slackjaw, say what you will, that girl's got a banging body. Shout out to her. So Natalia tells us she's 25 years old, which I'm like 98% sure that they told us she was 26. But anyway, she's 25 and from Brazil, and she met Garrick. What sounds like she was looking at his Instagram stories, and then he was looking at the people, the list of people who were looking at your Instagram stories and saw, oh, hot chick from Brazil. He DM'd her and also requested to follow her, like, the next day. I thought they met on a dating app. Am I crazy? I feel like I gotta watch the premiere again. Maybe I'm forgetting things. So she says Danielle's also, like, called and sent her messages, but clearly, like, they don't really have, she and Danielle, that deep of a relationship. She says she and Garrick, though, were able to establish a relationship real quickly. Like, yeah. How many interactions did you guys have before he showed you his dick? Let's just get to the question, you know? Let's just get to the question. Did you guys notice that when they first met each other, when they're all hugging and stuff, Natalia was either nervous or, like, not into this, because she hugs Joel, and she barely makes any eye contact with him, and he's trying so hard to just touch her anywhere he can. Just get a little rub in, just tickling her arm, the back of her neck, the nape. I mean, he's so horny, but in the weirdest way. You know what I mean? Like, it's so oddly horny. It's like, it's so not sexual that I can't be, like, creeped out by it, but he is very creepy inherently, and I need him to take those sunglasses off. I really do. Like, I can't deal with it. Take them off. Get another pair. Solomon, Justin, or whatever your name is, the son, just step on him real quick. I'll Venmo you $20. Don't worry about it. I got you, kid. Just send me your username. So anyway, so, you know, Natalia tells us, my mom came so I can feel a little bit safer and also know that, you know, I got people in my corner and know that my family is supporting this and what I want to do. So she says again, Slackjaw, in a confessional, that Natalia was a lot smaller than I expected. But again, like, you see them together, she's like maybe 3 inches shorter than her. And then she says, you know, her vibe is also kind of different. She's kind of, like, skater-ish. Joel, I've never seen him happier or more alive since he got to bend Bert over the bathroom sink the first time he saw her. He's like, you know, it's kind of like a flashback to old Danielle because she was a farmer girl. You know, she was wearing overalls. So, you know, like a skater girl and a farmer girl. I guess we're supposed to think that that's, like, a similar thing. I don't get it. But when have I ever understood what that man has said? Let's be real. What is going on in his head? Do you ever think, like, if you could just, like, open up somebody's head and just see, like, if there was, like, instead of a brain, just a factory, and you could just, like, see it like a graph or like a thing of what's going on. Whose mind would you want to see? Because for me, it's like Larsa Pippen. It's definitely Joel Osteen. This one, not the actual one. Who else?
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Maybe Alexia from Real Housewives of Miami. That would be an interesting ride. Just like, what is going on in there? Because how are we... This is what, you know, when people say, like, timelines overlap and, like, we're not existing on the same timeline. I just feel like I look at Larsa Pippen and people like Joel Osteen And I'm like, how are we existing in the same timeline? How are we breathing the same air, dealing with the same things? How are we on the same planet together? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. So they rented a villa at this hotel, this resort, I guess, so that they could all be together. Also, my other question is, like, how much money are these people making? Because they'd be staying in some nice places, and I know that TLC is not fronting the bill for all this. They can't be. Because they would be taking up the whole fucking budget, and never everybody else gets to just stay your ass at home and eat some bagged salad. Is that what's happening? The Slick Nick and Wilson Phillips get some steaks from Costco and the Taylor Farms bag salad and some cut up fruit. And these two chuckleheads and their whole family get to go to Mexico at a 5-star resort every week, every season. Like, what's going on? What is going on? I mean, it's worth it. It's worth it. So once they get to the villa, Natalia changes from like her Avril Lavigne outfit that she was wearing at the airport to this red, really cute maxi dress, right? Of course, Joel's like an old cartoon looking at her like she just turned into a chicken wing. Oh, Natalia's all dolled up. She's looking real gorgeous. And, you know, it makes me happy because, you know, I'm thinking I could be marrying this lady. So I'm pretty excited to see her looking so good today. He does not give a fuck about her personality. Like, I wanted to ask, what's her middle name? What's her favorite color? What kind of law does she want to practice? What's her mom's name? What's her last name? I think we might get like two out of five, however many questions I just asked. I think he would only get two of them right. And it would take him a second. But she's looking real good. And I'm thinking all she thinks is hot wife, hot Brazilian woman, wife, hot Brazilian, marry hot Brazilian woman, marry her, put baby in her. The sperm, Holy Ghost and Brazilian woman, hot woman. I think that's all that goes on in his head. So we find out that the boys are going to have their own room. Natalia is going to be sharing a room with her mom, and Joel will only be staying with Slackjaw. She goes, yeah, no hanky-panky. and he goes, yeah, no hanky-panky unless there's a proposal and a commitment for life. And I will be doing that in about 7 minutes. So Danielle says in a confessional, I'm excited about the potential future with Natalia, but the truth is we have been screwed over before, and that does sit in your mind a little bit. So Natalia tells us she's really never been in like a polygamous relationship like this before, but the family and Joel and Slackjaw, they were all just so loving. It really became a possibility for her. And Joel says in a confessional, all he's looking for is to propose to Natalia. Like, all he wants, all he needs from her in order for him to propose is to know that she's committed. That is it. Not even to know that she loves me, just that she's committed to me and the family. The only requirement. So they decide to have a little fun day at a cenote, right? Going swimming. And the guy, their tour guide, introduces himself as the Mexican George Clooney. So George goes and shows them the cenote, right? Tells them, y'all got to take a shower before you dip in. So, of course, you know, she's under the water. And Joel gets his camera out. And she's like, no, I'm shy. Fortunately, she speaks better English than we were led to believe. It's not great, but they can kind of have a conversation without being completely reliant on the translator app on their phone. They're like 85% reliant, but I thought we were going to be like 97. So it's a little bit of improvement. So he's watching her hornily. Again, chicken wing underwater. Chicken wing under like a little like barbecue sauce bath, just bathing in it. And he says in a confessional, like, I'm looking at her and I'm thinking, well, I'd be a real lucky man if she was my wife. I mean, we'd have some gorgeous kids too. But then he says, I need to see how the dynamic is with the whole family, because I'm ready to propose here soon. Like, yeah, you're going to have one night at the cenote, 2 hours, and you'll be like, okay, get the flower ring. I'm ready. So Natalia tells us, I actually do think he's handsome. He's got beautiful eyes. And he was telling me before we got here that he was very worried about his body. And he was working out every day in preparation for the vacation. But I already think he's very handsome. And then we have to watch him, unfortunately, bathing under that little shower like a little wet seal. You know, he waxed every inch of his chest before he got there. Coconut oil. Ugh. Just making Danielle rub him. And make sure I got every hair out, love. Make sure I got every hair out. Oh, get the nair. Get the nair, Danielle. Oh, something about him is like deeply unsexual. Like having to watch, because he's got these really, like I really like prefer, I honestly don't care. Like whatever you have going on naturally with your chest hair, I'm fine with it. If you got like a whole rug situation, Burt Reynolds style, cool. If you got a little wisps, cool. I really don't care. It's the excessive waxing that just personally is not for me. And I think we would all agree, even if you are into like a man who gets rid of his chest hair, that him specifically, like having to watch his hard, tiny, they're so small, like these tiny nipples, and they're so aggressively hard. Like you would think, you agree that it would benefit from like the clouding and just some disguise of a hair. It's just a lot. Like they're so hard. They're always so hard. So there's kind of an issue at the cenote because apparently, even though Natalia was telling them beforehand, she was super excited to go to the cenote specifically and like wanted to have fun. She gets there and there's like bats flying around. She doesn't really want to get in the water, but I would say like she's being chill about it. Like she's clearly scared and doesn't want to go in, but they're making a bigger deal about it than she is. I think she would have been perfectly fine just sitting on the sidelines while they have fun, but Danielle's making it weird as shit and like rubbing her arm and being like, come in, come in, like begging her to come in. She's like, no, like I really don't want to. So now Slackjaw is getting annoyed with Natalia because she's like, I'm trying to make the best out of the situation, but you know, she's not. And then she reveals that the reality is she and Natalia are not nearly as close as she was with Bert. So she's like, the way we were, memories in the corners of my mind with Roberta, and she's like, we were such besties, and by the time, like, she's comparing timelines, well, at this point in my knowing of Roberta, we were so close, and like I'm just not there with Natalia, and I'm just bummed about that because, you know, this really could have been a cool experience of us all together, but that's the reality of life. Like, she's really making this a lot deeper than it could, that it needed to be. Like, just splash around, girl. You're in the cenote. You got the old life jacket on. Just have fun. Let her sit there. But now you're wasting all your time being like, come in, come in, come in, come in. And like, I hate when people do this. They're like, are you okay? Like, constantly checking in with you. And now you get uncomfortable. Like, it doesn't even matter if I was totally chill. Now I'm like on high alert because you're asking me if I'm okay. I'm like, I'm fine. What's wrong? Or even worse, if you're feeling some type of way and you just want to keep your feelings to yourself and not talk, and somebody's like, oh, what's wrong? And then you're like, oh, like now I'm crying and I didn't want to cry. I just wanted to be left alone, you know? That's annoying. And now you're mad at me because I wanted to be left alone with my feelings and you didn't want me to be left alone. You're trying to force me to have a feeling and I don't want that. And now I'm the bitch. That's not fair. So after they get back from the cenote, they're sitting all together. They've got their translator apps open and Natalia's having to tell them like, I feel bad. And they're like, yeah, we do have to realize that we have different personalities here and there might be certain things that people won't like all the time. But Slackjaw says in a confessional, you know, like I said, at this point, me and Bert were besties. I don't have that with Natalia. And we've had like a couple moments here and there, but not overall, not a solid foundation. And I'm worried if we're ever going to get to that point. But, you know, I do know that plural living is part of our walk with God, but the speed of it is concerning me. Like, well, tell your man about that, girl. Don't put this on her. So then they go upstairs because Natalia says she's a little bit tired and her room is right next to Slackjaw and Joel's, right? So Slackjaw says goodbye and goodnight to Natalia and leaves them in the hallway to have a little private moment, a little kiss and cuddle before they go to bed, right? And Natalia says to us in the confessional, obviously she and Joel have been very intimate and affectionate when they've been messaging each other. I cannot imagine, again, at what point, how many minutes were you talking before his dick showed up on your inbox? But she says, you know, face-to-face intimacy is what's really important. And also, she actually thinks that she's already in love with this man. But they've got a long path ahead of her so that everything can go perfectly with Slackjaw. We'll see, girl. We'll see. I'm excited. I'm loving that this season is back. I actually am, like, in a messy way, in an ironic way. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank me for speaking. Love you. Bye.